Hey, welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Chris Lorton. I'm your host. And today, in studio, again by popular demand, the one, the only, one of our own, Jake Loff. Welcome, Jake.
Yes, it is me. I'm here. I'm back.
Yes.
I'm back. You can't get rid of me.
That's right. And Jake Loff, been in politics for a long time. And you have your J Loft company that you operate out of St. Louis, Missouri. And just a little bit about what your company does.
Chris, I have been doing this full service campaign consulting operation for a few years now. It grew out of my experience in Washington, D.C. We primarily service people running for Congress or Senate or state legislature, city council race, anything. And a lot of times I'll take that strategy into the private sector and help advertise for small businesses and stuff. So I'm pretty full service. I do it all. It's a whole lot of fun.
Now, how old are you, Jake?
I'm 30, but I'm going to be 31 next month.
All
so
right.
Now I'm in my early 30s.
Early 30s, they
call it. Yeah.
You're at the prime of your life.
That's what I mean, say.
I think prime is maybe like 30 to 33, 35, you know? I mean, as far as maybe... athletically.
I'm certainly in the best shape of my life. No, I think that like times have changed. Like everybody has a prime now. Like you're good from 20 to 60. You know, we've got it all figured out. How do you feel? Like what are you about 36, 37?
Add 30 on to that. Yeah, you'd be right on the money. I feel great. I think with me, I don't have a lot of stress in my life, which is
totally
nice. You know,
completely agree with that.
The less stress, the better.
You feel
I just
good.
Have fun every day.
Yeah, just wake up, you're like happy to be here.
Yeah, happy
right.
to do the things I do.
Amen.
And very blessed.
We need more of that. Yeah, we need more positive points of view in that way. Just wake up happy. Wake up in the morning, we're happy, make the bed. Let's get up and start the day.
That's right.
You know, can't wait to do it again tomorrow.
That's right. Now, from Jersey High, how did you get into D.C.?
Oh, well, it was a weird ride. Weird ride. Politics is strange. I wanted to go to college for I did go to college for computers, right? And a lot of people say, you should hire Jake Loft. He's good with computers. That's my main selling point these days among these politicians that don't know how to use cell phones or anything. They're like, talk to Loft. He's got it. He's got it under control. No, I just kind of got into a political club in college and the guys who were running it were big shots in Washington, you know, in certain ways. They were in Jeff City or wherever. I went to the University of Missouri, and I just thought it was a whole lot of fun. So
yeah.
I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for what, probably how many years?
So that was
10 years?
I remember the day it started. I remember it was, I went to a college Republicans meeting in 2012. It was like the third day of college.
Really?
And the guy who was running it had me, he wanted me to ask a pointed question too. Like, it was like a forum between two guys running for state representative or state senator. And they wanted me to ask a specific question because it wasn't really a friendly audience to us. They had to find a guy out there like, who's going to ask the question?
Yeah.
And they found me. I didn't know these guys. I'd never seen these guys in my life. And now they're like, I talk to both of them every day now.
Yeah.
Still, yeah. But these guys walked up to me and they're like, I need you to do this question. I'm like, this sounds great. This is... What do you want me to say? I'm in. Sign me up. Sign me up for this. And I've just been asking questions ever since.
Hey, what I like about having you in studio is I always get the inside. I like the inside info. You know, I hear on the, you know, the media, you know, like, you know, watching YouTube or, you know, one channel after another, hear what I hear. But I like your perspective because you're kind of in the background. You hear things, you see things that NART isn't necessarily broadcasted. So how about this Charlie Kirk's assassination has been blasted on, I mean, which I hate it. I mean, it was a terrible, terrible thing.
Horrific.
But my goodness, it's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, that was big week for news. We had the killing of the girl on the train just a couple days before that.
I know.
It's like, well, they're trying to cover it up with the Charlie Kirk assassination. Like, does it? Yeah. So, big week for news. That's brought a lot of opinions out in a positive way. We're seeing,
you know, with Charlie Kirk. You know, I knew Charlie Kirk. I wasn't like a disciple of Charlie Kirk's. I knew he was smart. I knew he was a great debater. But now I see all these clips coming and all these things. He's a pretty smart dude.
Yeah, yeah. So interesting thing about his group, the Turning Point group, they came on the scene about the same time as me. Yeah. And so whenever I was in college, I was like doing college Republican stuff and trying to get people to sign up. And I always said there's a new group that was kind of in my ear the whole time, always competing with me, this Turning Point USA.
Yeah.
And I was like, who are these guys? And they had like better merchandise than us. Like, we're selling like George W. Bush stickers and stuff, and like totally out of vogue by then. And they had these cool like issue-based socialism, like sucks. Socialism Sucks was their brand for years.
Yeah.
And okay. They had all these stickers and they handed them all out. And like all these kids I didn't know were like doing it. And the movement totally took off. Then he started doing these, him and other people, Ben Shapiro and Steven Crowder, started doing these like on college campus things to get everybody agitated, because like protesting was back. Like about 2014, all the protests were back. Right after the Michael Brown shooting, everybody started protesting again on college mm-hmm. campuses. So Charlie Kirk and his army of young conservatives show up to like,
counter,
yeah, in a way, and yeah. Like educate, and like maybe, you know, we learn too. Like we're conservatives are happy to learn from the liberal point of view on stuff.
Sure,
and we'll sit there and talk, and like that's our whole thing. And like the Kirk groups and Kirk aligned groups were so good at that, and they brought a lot of people into the fold that wouldn't normally be in there. And they took over totally, made a huge operation out of it. Now Turning Point's like $100 million like group. I don't think it's great. I wasn't really a follower, like you said, like you, I just knew of him. I wasn't really a Turning Point guy. And it turns out there are a lot of them. Yeah. Look at what we're seeing here is like, what I noticed is like on the internet and stuff, people that are not particularly political are all saying something about this, about the shooting. And they all say it's wrong. It is totally wrong. And it looks like a lot of people that were kind of on the fence on like left or right are kind of like moving right now based off of seeing the behavior that like these radicals, like the radical left has been warming us up for this for years. Right. We had there was the congressional baseball game practice shooting.
Right.
Remember, I was living in Washington at that time. That shooting happened like three blocks from my house.
Wow.
And it has just gotten worse ever since then. Right. They tried to take out the president, and now they finally got somebody. And what I don't think it's working out for them, because now what they've done is they've made the guy a literal martyr, which he probably is. He is in many ways. I'm seeing people with the clergy saying that he is like a Saint Paul type, even because he was so like devout in his religious beliefs, and he was always talking about it and stuff. So we're getting to see some God talk in the mainstream now, mm-hmm. which is great. Mm-hmm. It's good to bring that back. And then regular people are standing up and condemning all this political violence. Cause it's like, I mean, we haven't had attacks like this, like high profile attacks, like in many of our lifetimes. It's been since like the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
So we've never seen it like this before.
You know, the one thing I don't understand, you know, and I'm not a security guy, but why, when they have controversial, you know,
I mean, figures.
Yeah, they have controversy. They got all these people there, and it's like a big to-do, right? And you're going to have thousands of people there. Why don't they send up a drone and just check the area over? It's so easy, you know?
I mean,
and drones are not that expensive. I don't understand why they don't do that.
Well, there's always I think, you know, my conspiracy mind goes a little bit to like, you know, they don't take security very seriously for big conservative speakers. Like we saw that, like the Secret Service, even with Trump, like how did they let that guy get on the roof?
I mean, there again, you know, a drone around would have spotted it.
It could have been easy. Or that guy that was shooting at the golf course was like living in the bushes for a week. They couldn't figure this out because of the Secret Service. And so now we got, you know, so if they're doing it even at that level, like imagine what's going on in like university security.
Yeah.
Right. Like I bet Turning Point probably has their own security that they have to travel with because they can't trust any of these local police officers or the local security at
the universities. I heard in one interview, they were saying that at the university, they had 6 officers on staff for security. And then Kirk had his people as well.
Yeah. He's traveling with. He's bringing out audiences, 100,000. You see everybody going to the funeral today?
Oh, my gosh.
My gosh. Yeah, and they got a guy there yesterday. You see
there's
a guy?
I saw that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what is going on with these nuts?
I know, like, man. It's it's crazy.
It's total the radicals have, like, infiltrated, like, the I don't know, the core. Like, these people, these, like, young people on the left are, like, in these, like, group chats and these like radicalizing like things, the type of things that would be like what like terrorists used to do to radicalize people and turn them into ISIS. Like there's like the same strategy. Like they're like just feeding them this info and this all this misinformation on Reddit threads and Discord channels, and like there's this whole like club of just anarchy that they just want to be in.
Yes,
it's weird.
Well, hopefully things will settle down. We can get away from that.
We're gonna
learn
from this.
I don't know.
There's no way the general public is like turned on them. I think. Yeah.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Jake Law from Jayloft Company. He operates out of St. Louis, basically doing. What are you working on now? What are you working on?
So, just for the listeners, usually I make a lot of websites. Usually there's a lot of website business going on. Politicians need websites. Not a lot of websites going on at this exact time. So I've spent most of my time working on a congressional campaign out of St. Louis County. They're working on primarying an incumbent Republican in the election next August. It's going to cost a lot of money. It's going to take a lot of work, but I'm pretty full service on the project, which is a whole lot of fun.
Okay. How much when you run for Congress? Now we're talking about Congress in DC, right? U.S. Congress. What does that pay? What would you guess?
I think their official salary is like $135,000.
Yeah. $135,000.
Yeah. But I could be wrong about that number, but it's around that. And that's hardly enough to live in DC on, really.
Really? Yeah. That's what I was thinking. But how do they make, how do they make money?
How do they get rich in Congress? The question that we've all wanted to know. Yeah. How do these people get rich in Congress? Well, insider trading, secret book deals, kickbacks from pharmaceutical companies.
That's it?
Yeah, pretty much. Like I'd say mostly it's book deals.
Book deals.
A lot of people, you know, if you have any kind of television presence, then you can probably get a couple rounds of books out, right?
There's not much money in books, huh?
I guess. I've publishers. That could also be another weird money laundering operation is who's buying all these hardcover books?
True.
But a lot of them, I know this is actually true, is a lot of them have just garages full of like these books.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They just get them all.
And you know that.
Yeah, I've seen this. I've seen them in real life. I've seen boxes of books. Boxes and boxes of books. Like whenever they try to get Trump with the nuclear documents, just boxes in his bathroom, just of documents everywhere.
Yeah.
Imagine that, just hardcover books.
Yes.
Just has been politicians.
Well, speaking of Trump, like the guy has been on the move since he took office. Every day it's a new story. What's your thoughts? What's the thoughts on the tariffs? Are they doing what they're supposed to be doing or what? Are they
Oh yeah. I love the tariffs.
You do?
Yeah. It is true that a tariff could raise the price of consumer goods. That's a totally true fact. But that's not what we're using them for here, and it's not what's happening. Pretty much every country caved in like a week on the tariffs, right? Like we slap on the 300% tariff, then they have a meeting at the White House and they ship them all in and they're like, well, tariffs are gone, right? Like happens all the time and we've been doing it. We've been working it fine. Art of the deal, full display.
Yes. Yes.
And I think it's good. I think it's good for us. I think it's...
What I like, you know, when I graduated from high school in 1976, kids... in my age, they had an option. They could go to college, right? Or they could go get a job at any one of the factories that are working and make good money, right? Make good money, get benefits, raise a family, build a house. You know, those days were lost. You know, they're gone. Hopefully that will come back. I'd like to see that for the young people today.
We are working on it. Yeah. That's coming in a couple different ways. So the tariffs should encourage companies to start manufacturing in the United States again. That's pretty clear. I think also our crackdown on illegal immigration is going to help out a lot with that. There's not as many factories open as there used to be, but there sure are a lot of construction projects that need done that I think our people could do. Mm-hmm. We're seeing that, you know, when he's going in and just cleaning out 40 people in a restaurant, like here in like the Midwest, I think that means there's probably some illegal immigration, like workers in other places too.
What do you think is going to be the fallout in Chicago? He's in Chicago right now. ICE is. Think it'll be negative, positive? What are you thinking?
You know, it just depends on your point of view. I think all of this stuff has been positive, more or less. The Democrat governors that are kind of holding everything up, Pritzker and Newsom, they're just doing it for political points. They're all trying to run for president, and they don't want to make it look like they support Trump. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really sure the rules exactly. I think the governor does actually have the final say on whether the National Guard goes in. So Chicago might never get fixed. But there are plenty of governors that do want the National Guard in their places. You see the mayor of Memphis is like, welcome, come on in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Memphis is a dump. Have you been to Memphis?
I've been to Memphis a couple years ago. We went for a couple of days, and you know, when you got to walk from a very nice hotel, you know, down to State Street or Broadway or wherever it is, you know, you got to keep your head on a swivel over there. You got to watch, because it is a little dangerous, you know, it can be, if you make the wrong turn finding your way back.
Yeah.
It can be a little spooky.
Yeah, I went in there. I went down Beale Street in the middle of the week. It was totally dead, just nothing but homeless. But some governors want it, some mayors want it, some people don't. The St. Louis is next, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe the governor wants it.
Yeah,
governor is totally playing with that.
How about the mayor of St. Louis?
The new mayor of St. Louis, I think, has actually done a pretty good job.
Good.
Yeah, we haven't turned on her yet. Like, she is a radical leftist, but we have not yet turned on Kara Spencer. She's doing a pretty good job considering what she was handed. You see the tornado. It was a total disaster.
Yes, right.
tornado. Then the sheriff was like writing checks and for himself and getting cars. So she's cleaned out some corruption. She has she's fixed my road. You know, I live right off King's Highway, and it used to be the worst road in town. Now it's the highway for the king. It's nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
But as far as like Trump coming into St. Louis, she has kind of been like fairly receptive to many of the federal programs coming in.
Is St. Louis, in your opinion, in big need of cleaning out some of the corruption and the gangsters or whatever?
St. Louis,
Is it that scary?
I don't, you know, it's pretty segregated. It's the real issue with St. Louis is there's so many vacant buildings.
Yeah.
That we're cleaning up. Like, we have a program coming in here. I just read that they're coming in here to knock down all the buildings that were like halfway destroyed by the tornadoes and stuff.
I see.
And so they're going to clean out North St. Louis, like physically. I think that would help out a lot. There's just been so much corruption within the government for so many years in St. Louis. It's been corrupt since the 50s. You know, like the city government can't properly govern itself. But we're working on it. It needs cleaned up. I support it. I don't think it needs to be at the top of the list. I think they need to go into like Baltimore. You know, but I love to hear Memphis. But that's also weird. New Orleans too.
New Orleans.
Spotted Music Cat. Spotted Cat Music Club. New Orleans. I love New Orleans. But it's a disaster.
I can remember once Brendan and I went to. It was a restaurant bar convention, nightclub convention in New Orleans, down at the main convention center.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And we had our accommodations, which were several blocks away, and we had taken a cab there. All right. Going back. Now, this was about 15 years ago, 20 years ago. I decided, we won't take a cab. Let's just walk. It's just a nice night. Boy, that was one of the scariest walks. Once I got into that walk, you know, and we didn't have cell phones or nothing. We were just walking.
Around, fresh and off Katrina.
it was after Katrina. I mean, I was walking. Brenda had no idea, you know, the danger we were in. Because now we were in the middle of it. I'm going, oh, my gosh. You know, and I rolled up. I had a briefcase bag, you know, that I'd gotten at the convention. And I rolled that up tight, you know, like.
As
a weapon. Because I thought at any second, man, these guys are going to come
they're all going to swarm out of the alleyway,
you know, and try to rob us or whatever. I'm going, oh my gosh. That was spooky.
New Orleans is a spooky place. You know, there's voodoo and everything there. It's in general is a no man's land for order. I love New Orleans. I think it's great. The food and the culture and I've been there when it's been pretty dirty and gross too.
You mean it's not now?
It compared to 10 years ago.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They've put in Bourbon Street has a new road. Oh yeah, it's not muddy anymore. It's all asphalt and nice. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
But this place is the coolest. Spotted Cat Music Club. Yeah. So it's off of Frenchman Street, which is more of an artsy area. Yeah. Well, hip. Part of town.
Spotted Cat.
Shout out. Free advertisement on WJBM. It's my favorite place.
Okay. I will remember that. Spotted Cat.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, to conclude on all American cities being dangerous and terrible and poorly run, if the Democrats would quit running on a policy of crime in the streets and chaos is a good thing, then we could probably clean it up.
Yeah, and they might change their mind.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. It goes back and forth. Yes. It goes back and forth. What else you got?
We're hoping for the best.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing with it is just, I hate seeing against Democrats, Republicans. We're all Americans. We're all good people.
Right.
We got to work together for the good of our people.
It can be done. And that's what Kirk was doing, right? He was getting there and getting everybody in a nice conversation. And some people could take it, and some people would learn, and some people would listen. Some people would yell.
I was when I was watching a lot of his clips, you know, because they're just on, you know, they're just seeing
all the
one
time.
After another.
I can't get away from him.
He can be very straightforward and kind of abrasive, you know, to people, and he's right back at him, you know. And the fact of the matter is, most of it, it's true.
It's
what
true.
He says is true.
It's tough to look another guy in the face and to be like, you're ruining your life.
Yeah. You got to straighten up. You can't depend on the government to take care of you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's important.
Well, Jake, we've got some more things to talk about.
Okay.
Right? But this is all the time Craig will allow me to have on the Spotlight Show. Part one is over. We'll come back and we'll pick up where we left off and continue on.
Great.
All right. Thanks, Jake. Thanks
for having me. I'll be back.
Tune in Thursday. You'll be back Thursday. So tune in
back on Thursday.
Yes. All right.